those systems completely collapse, as those oppressive, coercive systems of get them right out of there. They're things that we don't need. They don't bring anything good to humanity. So yeah, again, happy birthday, Peter Kropotkin. Happy winter solstice. Happy winter, everyone. Winter. It's a wonderful time. Anyways, we're going to play some audio linked to Prison Radio. And this is Christmas in Prison. This is from Memoirs of a Revolutionist. And this is a piece where Kropotkin describes reading Charles Dickens' Christmas stories while imprisoned in Russia in 1874. Yeah, so we have a quick piece of audio of that. I'm going to play it, and I hope you enjoy it.
We had very much in common in his Kantian philosophical views. When he learned about my arrest, Alexander immediately left everything. The work of his life, the life itself of freedom, which was as necessary for him as free air is necessary for a bird, and returned to St. Petersburg, which he disliked, only to help me through my imprisonment. We were both very much affected at this interview. My brother was extremely excited. He hated the very sight of the blue uniforms of the gendarmes, those executioners of all independent thought in Russia, and expressed his feeling frankly in their presence. As for me, the sight of him at St. Petersburg filled me with the most dismal apprehensions. I was happy to see his honest face, his eyes full of love, and to hear that I should see them once a month. And yet I wished him hundreds of miles away from that place to which he came free that day, but to which he would inevitably be brought some night under an escort of gendarmes. "Why did you come into the lion's den? Go back at once," my whole inner self cried, and yet I knew that he would remain as long as I was in prison. He understood better than anyone else that inactivity would kill me, and had already made application to obtain for me the permission of resuming work. The Geographical Society wanted me to finish my book on the glacial period, and my brother turned the whole scientific world in St. Petersburg upside down to move it to support his application. The Academy of Sciences was interested in the matter, and finally, 2 or 3 months after my imprisonment, the governor entered my cell and announced to me that I was permitted by the emperor to complete my report to the Geographical Society, and that I should be allowed pen and ink for that purpose. "Till sunset only," he added. Sunset at St. Petersburg is at 3 in the afternoon in winter time, but that could not be helped. "Till sunset" were the words used by Alexander II when he granted the permission. End of The Fortress, The Escape, Chapter 1. So I could work. I could hardly express now the immensity of relief I then felt at being enabled to resume writing. I would have consented to live on nothing but bread and water in the dampest of cellars if only permitted to work. I was, however, the sole prisoner to whom writing materials were allowed. Several of my comrades spent 3 years and more in confinement before the famous trial of the 193 took place, and all they had was a slate. Of course, even the slate was welcome in that dreary loneliness, and they used it to write exercises in the languages they were learning, or to work out mathematical problems, but what was jotted down on the slate could last only a few hours. My prison life now took a more regular character. There was something immediate to live for. At 9 in the morning, I had already made the first 300 pacings across my cell, and was waiting for my pencils and pens to be delivered to me. The work which I had prepared for the Geographical Society contained, beside a report of my explorations in Finland, a discussion of the basis upon which the glacial hypothesis ought to rest. Now, knowing that I had plenty of time before me, I decided to rewrite and enlarge that part of my work. The Academy of Sciences put its admirable library at my service, and a corner of my cell soon filled up with books and maps, including the whole of the excellent Swedish Geographical Survey publications, a nearly full collection of reports of all Arctic travels, and whole sets of the Quarterly Journal of the London Geographical Society. My book grew in the fortress to the size of two large volumes. The first of them was printed by my brother and Polakov in the Geographical Society's memoirs, while the second, not quite finished, remained in the hands of the third section when I ran away. The manuscript was only found in 1895 and given to the Russian Geographical Society, by whom it was forwarded to me in London. At 5 in the afternoon, at 3 in the winter, as soon as the tiny lamp was brought in, my pencils and pens were taken away, and I had to stop work. Then I used to read, mostly books of history. Quite a library had been formed in the fortress by the generations of political prisoners who had been confined there. I was allowed to add to the library a number of staple works on Russian history, and with the books which were brought to me by my relatives, I was enabled to read almost every work and collection of acts and documents bearing on the Moscow period of the history of Russia. I relished in reading not only the Russian annals, especially the admirable annals of the Democratic Medieval Republic of Pskov, the best, perhaps, in Europe for the history of that type of medieval cities, but all sorts of dry document, and even the lives of the saints, which occasionally contain facts of the real life of the masses which cannot be found elsewhere. I also read during this time a great number of novels, and even arranged for myself a treat on Christmas Eve. My relatives managed to send me then the Christmas stories of Dickens, and I spent the festival laughing and crying over those beautiful creations of the great novelist. Chapter 3. The worst was the...
That was an excerpt from Peter Kropotkin's Memoirs of a Revolutionist, and that was a section where he describes reading Dickens' Christmas stories while imprisoned in Russia in 1874. And the Kropotkin's birthday season and solstice season, the holiday season, Christmas for many here is, and those in prison, is a very hard time for those in prison. It's a time where, well, we can put it in, why don't we let the people, someone in prison, tell us about that. But if you can support those in prison, do so. There's many different prison support ways to support prisoners. Check out the Certain Days calendar, Certain Days website for more. Your local anarchist Black Cross in Waterloo Region, the 32 County Sovereignty Movement Solidarity Group has monthly prison letter writing nights, and books for prisoners groups across Ontario as well. Support those groups and support prisoners. If you know someone, or if you want to write to someone in jail, do so. There's prisoners in jail, and we'll get into it as we continue, but There's political prisoners in jail right across Turtle Island, including those involved in the No Dapple pipeline protest, the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. People have been sentenced to year and years in jail around those protests. Support them as they are in jail, and find out more information on them from, again, the Certain Days website and calendar. And of course, there's more to support some of those that have been imprisoned for their apparent involvement in smash up of some.